We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We respectfully acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be.
Hi, and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, I'm my master of wine, Meg Brotman, and we are back for part two of our episode with Nick Rose. Nick is a fine wine buyer of imported international wines for Den Murphy's, and he has brought in some awesome examples of French white wines that you can actually afford in this economy, which sounds pretty ridiculous, but there is some seriously good stuff in there. So if you haven't listened to the first half of the episode, I absolutely recommend you do. And if you have, enjoy part two.
Okay, what's next?
Oh, where should we go to now? Well, we did talk about your Sauvignon Blanc drinking friends, so.
Ooh, something for them.
I do love Sauvignon Blanc.
Meg just had the self-awareness. She was eating a cracker, so she's put her hands over the mic and stood away from it and then tried to talk. Like, that's not going to work, bro. Meg, we've been doing this for 3 years.
You've told me never to eat.
I know, now you're eating.
I know. Take the food away.
I thought I'd be the one making the microphone faux pas, so that's good.
Literally, you're a pro.
So what do we have
so,
here?
So, sorry, we're back.
Whoa.
We are back to the Loire. So we're going to Pouilly-Fumé, so one of the prestigious appellations in Loire for Sauvignon Blanc. Patien Cottat is the producer. So 2020, and this is an ancient vine label, which is in France doesn't mean a whole lot compared to some of the ancient vines in Australia. I think these are vines around 30 years old.
They're only 30 years old and they're calling themselves an ancient vine.
Well, they've had a few things to deal with in terms of the history of the vine. So,
but still, wow.
Yeah, with Floxor wiping out most of the vines,
marketing.
They've got
a
new history to start. But this is a pretty – this area has been in super high demand recently and the prices have absolutely skyrocketed for both Sancerre and Pouilly-Fumé.
Sorry, what grape variety are we looking at?
So we're looking at Sauvignon Blanc.
Okay.
But probably Sauvignon Blanc, not as you know it. So quite a different creature to what you'd normally taste from New Zealand, certainly. So not nearly as like tropical and pungent. So it's a little bit more citrusy, steely, restrained. There also tends to be a little bit of a smoky, reductive sort of character in the wine.
Yeah, I'm getting.
Black currant leaf.
Yeah.
Sauvignon Blanc is the parent of Cabernet Sauvignon, one of the parents. It smells like black currant.
It does smell like black currant.
And that for me is Pouilly-Fumé, Menetou to a less extent, which are both on the same side, and then Sancerre. That is, I actually have, I shouldn't speak
oh
about
God,
this.
Oh my God, that's
I
unreal.
I have a so dozen good. Bottles of this in my wine fridge.
All right.
I bought it. probably about a month ago, and my husband and I just went, oh, my God, that is so good.
Good.
So we just
is.
Bought a dozen
so you know
for
well.
Yeah. Okay. So I probably shouldn't comment, but I love this wine.
It's interesting.
And it's not expensive.
There's some elements there that when I smell the wine, I think I'm not going to like that sort of capsicum-y, smoky.
Oh, no, I love
and you
it.
Sort of go, oh,
yes,
am
yes,
I going
yes.
to enjoy this? But in the mouth, it's just got something that's like
yeah,
so refreshing and textural and moorish that you go, oh, wow, that's so enjoyable. But
yeah.
it's quite an interesting one.
So you say, lures you in. You say that it's so different to New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, and it clearly is. So do you think that people that dismiss that style of Sauvignon Blanc should still give this a try?
Absolutely. I think it's almost like... Well, two things. It might be a progression in the journey of a Sauvignon Blanc drinker. So if they've drunk a lot of New Zealand and they're getting a little bit sick of it and they want to try something a little bit more serious, you might progress onto this.
Yeah.
But then I think another way in is like, to your point, the person that doesn't normally touch Sauvignon Blanc at all and just wants a really lovely, complex white.
But even less, have a look. The Sauvignon Blanc has so many iterations. And we're so inured with what New Zealand does.
In Australia, it's hard not to be.
This is such a delightful expression of what Sauvignon in the old world, and I'll be very old school about this, does. I mean, even Bordeaux Blanc can have some of that black currant leaf, but this is Loire through and through. It's, as I said, I bought a lot of this because I just think it's – we did it the other night with – prawns with chipotle mayonnaise, and you wouldn't think that smokiness of chipotle would work.
Yeah.
But that black currant acid just cut through. And I can't remember how much. Is it 23?
Oh, no, it's a bit more.
See, this is the thing I do. Meg,
you're justifying it in your head.
Yeah. Because Pete says, how much is that? And I'm like, oh, about 25.
So that's what you told yourself when you came home with
I
it.
Do.
If anyone asks, this was 23.
Because you know how you get the discount on the six?
Yeah. I think this is about 43.
It's a little bit different, Meg.
Pete, don't listen to this episode. Yeah.
But you can get it on special. It comes out on special sort of under 40.
I have to say it is worth every cent.
I agree, yeah.
It is pristine Central Vineyards Loire Sauvignon Blanc. And Sauvignon Blanc without the garish makeup on it. It's just beautiful.
It's got a bit of a different vibe to it than like arriving at a dinner party with an Oyster Bay. Then, you know, I've got the Pouilly
Look at the classy label. It's beautiful. And I could come up with 1,000 recipes for this.
Hey, a lot of people struggle with Pouilly Fumé versus Pouilly Fusé. How do you remember it? Do you just remember it?
Fumé, smoky, Sauvignon Blanc, flinty. That's how. And Fusé is Chardonnay.
Fusé is Chardonnay. Yeah. People struggle with that.
They're pretty easy to interchange, but they are completely different creatures. And
well, don't they say that it's flintiness and smoke?
Because fumé translates to smoke.
Yeah. And the Americans did that fumé blanc, which is Sauvignon fermented in barrels. I love this.
So what would you eat with it?
It's a shame that it's 43, so I've convinced myself it's so much cheaper. Buy it. It doesn't matter.
Well, like I said, this area is in pretty high demand. So you may have seen it 10 years ago for that sort of price, but now anything out of Fumé or Sancerre, like it's still exceptionally good value.
Now, I do convince myself that things are cheaper than they are.
That's hilarious. That's really funny.
I just tell Pete loves them. I mean, he's like, oh, that's bloody good. And he loves this wine, but he thinks it's $23.
He thinks he's just like drinking the best value wine in the world. That is so funny. His whole interpretation of the value of wine is going to be so
skewed. Sure, it just all evens out.
It does.
Because, you know, I'm buying the Picpoul Belladonna at what, 16? And I'm saying it's probably 23. So it's all...
Yeah, you buy a couple of bottles of Muscadet and a couple of bottles of that and then it all balances out at $23 a bottle.
Yeah, I don't remember. When I buy wine, if I want something, I just... I'm not talking at that $200 mark.
Yeah,
I'm talking at anywhere between 15 and obviously 45.
Yes, thank you.
I don't care. I just...
Yeah.
And I'm sure it all balances out at 25.
It balances out. This has become a therapy session. Let's go to the last one.
Is it worth pointing out that I walked in, you had a table full of really nice burgers on the table?
That was Mel. That wasn't me.
That wasn't my request.
Yeah. I was suggested Vermentino.
Yeah, but you were such a rubber arm. I was like, can we do burgundy? You were like, okay.
Anyway,
I have got the Vermentinos in my fridge.
It was a great way to walk in and get a glass of burgundy in the hand. Thanks for that, guys.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the segue between Pouilly Fumé and Pouilly Fusé, here's one I prepared earlier.
I didn't even see that there.
I did bring a bottle of Pouilly Fusé for us to try.
That is so
good. Yeah, so to be clear, they're from different regions in France, and one is Sauvignon Blanc and one's Chardonnay.
Yeah, so this is the producer's name is...
26.
Domaine Truet.
Okay.
So Pouilly Fusé, So Fumé, you're in Loire, so you're in the west.
Yep.
This is the other way. We're going over to Burgundy, and this is down the south of Burgundy, so just outside of the Mâconnais.
Nice bottle.
It is. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Is it heavy?
It's a little bit heavier than a normal bottle.
Did that have wax? Sorry.
No wax. Oh, sorry. That's your glass.
So do you talk to... I'm sustainability hat on here. Do you talk to your producers about... bottle weight and...
We do, yeah. Yeah, no, big focus on sustainability at the moment.
Because that's nice.
Yep.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, no packaging, bottle weight, wooden boxes, all those things that add to weight and carbon footprint is very much on the agenda.
Are they receptive?
They are, yeah.
Oh, good.
Very much so, yeah. I think you have to be. I think it's like globally accepted now that it's something we need to.
Well, yeah, we're the canaries in the coal mine in terms of vineyards. So yeah. If we don't make a change, we can't bitch about everyone else not making a change.
Mm. So, I'm sorry, I can't pay attention to sustainability talk while I'm smelling this. This smells like, have you had the latest pie at McDonald's?
I don't go to McDonald's.
Okay, well, I have. It's like banana and custard and salted caramel in like a pie with like cinnamon on top. That is cinnamon, banana, apple, and custard.
How were you?
Yeah, very. I've had it once, but I'm not gonna lie, I loved it.
Is it
what kind of pie is it? Like a meat pie or
it's a banana dessert. Meg. Yeah, it's a dessert. It's a dessert. Smell it. Dessert. It smells like a dessert pie with like banana and custard and apple and cinnamon.
So I came with the frog.
That's your like no.
I'm more less trash. No, less trailer trash descriptors.
No, but I mean it smells wonderful.
For me it's a little bit more guava. I get some cinnamon.
It's definitely a little tropical
note. I do not get the banana.
Yep.
Do you not know? It's like mashed banana.
No, but I'm thinking like faux banana.
No. Not candy banana. Not like Esther. Like mashed fresh banana.
Well, I don't have a McDonald's reference.
Okay, well,
about me.
What about Chinese when they do the fried banana?
Yeah, but I don't do that.
Oh my god. Okay, well, I am the one taking stuff for
Mel
the people. All our listeners.
The Bernie Sanders.
All our listeners will relate tasters. To me. Nick, do you taste what I'm? Do you smell what I'm smelling?
I like the analogy, but I don't have the reference point either.
Oh
no.
So.
It's a fried banana.
Obviously.
What do you see?
Well, firstly, like Burgundy and value are not two things that go hand in hand. Let's just say that, particularly in the last few years, some just crazy things are going on with Burgundy pricing at the moment. In the context of the, this is a relatively entry level sort of Burgundy offering, but I think. The wine has, a little bit of weight, a little bit of richness. It's got lots of different flavours going on. I find it really, really interesting. It's coming from 2021, which was a very, very challenging year in Burgundy. Lots of weather events, frosts and things that made it very, very challenging and very little wine made. So it's taken in the context of price point and vintage. But I love this producer. I think they've just made some wines that are, fantastic value for money, a very subtle wine. So they're not in your face, overly worked, oaky sort of examples. They're just a little bit of texture, a little bit of leasiness, great acid, great drive. They're not wines that whack you over the head and go, oh my God, that's amazing. But I love the subtleness and the drive and carrying that wine. And looking around $50 a bottle, which, like I said, in the context of Burgundy, is pretty cheap.
Yeah, it is. It's really tropical. I really like that.
I'm more on the guava rather than the banana trashy.
Oh my god, it's not trashy.
Cinnamon. No, it is. It's
used from McDonald's. I used the wrong reference. I shouldn't use the word McDonald's. But if you think about the things that I said, which were apple, banana, cinnamon.
Yes.
Custard.
It's even just warming up a little bit in the glass too, it's just showing more and more. It looks quite shy and reserved. I think it's going to come out of the glass a bit, but mango. Didn't get that sort of mango.
Yeah,
character.
Yeah, mango for sure.
I'm less on the confected. Your descriptor.
No, but it's not confected. Okay. I'm saying fresh mashed banana, not candied banana. That's not confected. Yeah. It's fresh.
Baby food.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like you feed your children. I'm more guava, and I think there's some stoned fruit, there's mango.
I think these words that I'm using, you are so, you've used them in the past to describe wines you don't like, and therefore I'm using them as descriptors.
Yes, possibly.
And you're taking it because you've described. Yeah, because you've described wines you don't like this way before. But I'm using them as genuine descriptors, but I really like the wine and think it's a high-quality wine.
Yep. Fair. Wrong, but fair.
Oh, my God.
No, I see what you're saying. It is definitely on the tropical fruit, ripe fruit spectrum. But for me, there's a restraint in there that's when you talk about banoffee pie that I'm not seeing restraint.
Banoffee, that's it.
I'm not seeing restraint.
But
I think it's
it is restrained, but it's wonderful. It's contextual. Got a great acid line.
It has that nice sort of mineral, sort of chalky edge on the finish, which I think makes it.
And clearly, orange is the new black. We've got it on the Lorentz, and
it catches the eye. The Puli Fusé. Does catch the eye.
Oh, so what's if you were to go out, we all have to choose one and
we're going
tell
out
someone.
Tonight. What are you going to choose?
Oh, no, no. If you were to tell our listeners, you're going to drop into Dan's on the way home, pick up one wine for your weekend. What wine is it?
You go.
Oh, I absolutely love this Saint Perret, the Cape de Tarn. I just think that's such a delicious wine to drink. It was the one wine out of all the tasting that as you guys were talking, I just couldn't stop sipping on. So to me, that's the perfect sign that that's a wine that I want to drink. But I'd also probably grab two bottles of Muscadet for the same price and be more than happy.
That would be mine because I have made so much of this badly. It is such a delight to see what Muscadet Sèvres-Mansoulis, and I will be very specific on that, should be. That is a perfect expression. It's got the spritz. I can see myself in a Renoir painting, eating oysters, not high alcohol.
Yeah.
It's exactly what they meant it to be. And there's, I have to say, very few examples of that in the world that represent what it should be. So for me, that's my... But I do love that.
I'll say the Puli Fusé because I think so many people, that are like,
it's only $23 in my head, so buy it.
But also, even just I noticed teaching Wesset that people with Sauvignon Blanc have this thing against it, and you're like, no, I'm going to give you this one, and it's just go into it with an open mind. Once people go into it with an open mind and see what Sauvignon Blanc is capable of. It's actually astounding how great it can be. So I'm going to say that, but I'm with Nick. Pick up the Muscadet way there.
And I should mention this.
And then pretend it's all $23. Correct. That's what I do. I'm actually going in tomorrow to get that, and I
Stop
pointing,
you're
that.
On a podcast.
So the Muscadet, the Riesling, and the Puli Fusé again, and then I can average it out and say it's all $23.
I was going to mention the Patien Cotard. There's a Sancerre as well under the same label. That's equally delicious.
Great.
About $6 or $7 more, unfortunately.
So it makes it like $25.
$26. That is so perfect that I wouldn't I wouldn't pay the extra for because that is just so I do love that wine. Because I think in my head it's $23.
Well, this has been awesome. Thank you. So, so much, Nick.
My pleasure. That was fun.
Before we finish out, we've got a question that I thought you could help with. Last week we had a question from someone who actually does work in a dance store. He's an assistant manager and he wanted to know what more he could do to learn about wine. So we suggested some more wine courses. Was it two? Was it three? But we now have a question from Mitch and he's just finished. Was it two? He said that he's not in wine or hospitality. What is the best way to continue learning about wine? Is Wesset 3 out of reach or is there another way? Is there something you can recommend?
I think there's lots of ways you can keep in touch and even when you're not working in the industry. So obviously there's lots of events and fairs that are run that are, you know, there seems to be something every single weekend that you can attend and taste lots of, at one time. Obviously, lots of people running palate training courses, you know, other wine tasting.
What do you mean palate training? Is that like different to a somm?
It's a little bit about not just tasting wine and learning wine, but actually like learning how to assess it and what you should be looking for. Literally training your palate. So, I mean, they're fantastic for people that don't get a chance to taste regularly through work. So, learning how to taste and
knowing your own limitations too. I think we all think we might be super tasters like you, Mel, but we're not. So knowing that I can't pick up black pepper or you can't pick up acetone or whatever.
I can't
pick
up sulfite.
It's not that you're useless. It's just understanding what your limitations are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we always have generally at our work we have a panel, because there are people that are completely oblivious to certain things and people that are very, very susceptible to other things. So you work as a group, and there's no right or wrong, but together as a group you can sort of find the right answer eventually.
And how do you end up in your job?
It's a great question.
what's the pathway?
Like I said, it's the only thing I've ever done. So it was kind of my first job. So I don't have anything to fall back on, which is a bit of a worry. But yeah,
lucky you're good at it.
lots of persistence. Yeah.
So, and I think for Mitch, he's saying that he was good at WESET 2. Should he do WESET 3? It's like, The wine courses are a great route to go down if you want to work and you want the certification, and it's a great way to get all the information, but it's by no means the only way, right? And just like immersing yourself in tastings and being like fully involved in the industry, get on mailing lists, find tastings, and actually just like enjoy it.
Yeah, the one thing I would say, there's really no shortcut to it. So realizing that no matter what you learn, there's always a lot more to learn is probably the first thing to realize. And a lot of self-teaching, a lot of reading, a lot of tasting in your own time. There's no shortcut.
And I would add to that,
it's a good note.
Just be honest. If you crap at a certain thing like Brettanomyces or cork tank, just own it. Like, don't pretend.
I think it's so good for people when you are so like, I can't smell white pepper, and everyone's like, what?
Cork tank.
Master
not great.
Of wine
not
can't
great.
Smell pepper.
I'm a bloody winemaker. And cork tape for me has to be, I know that I'm not great on the nose, I'm good on the palate. So I have to actually taste everything.
I was always too nervous to tell anyone that I couldn't smell sulfide until I went to Rotorua and I couldn't smell a thing in Rotorua. And I was like, okay, no, this is legit.
That is the whole odeur of Rotorua. Yeah. No, I think, and that's training yourself. And saying, I mean, the AWAC courses through AWRI, they're very expensive, which is a wine course to identify faults in wine, really. But they are worth doing. But just taste with other people and just admit. Like, I studied with a winemaker. She couldn't smell acetone.
Wow.
Which is nail polish remover, which is VA, which is kind of really important.
Which is, like a major fault.
And she knew. So she just said, can't do it.
Yeah.
Here you go, Nick. Can you smell this for me? Because I can't smell it.
Yeah. Surrounding yourself with knowledgeable people also helps. I'm lucky that I've got.
And never pretend you know everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just I've keep learning.
Lots of knowledge around me. So I'm lucky that I can fall on whether the. You know, the wine merchants in store, there's people that, you know, consult to our buying team. There's no shortage of expertise around. So be a sponge and be open to everything that they can offer.
I love that you're doing all this weird shit, though. I mean, who else would be bringing Northern Rhone and Beaujolais white?
Thank you so much for coming in, Nick. Thank you so much for bringing all these awesome wines. This was absolutely brilliant.
My pleasure.
I reckon everyone's going to be stopping on their way home for at least a few of these.
I hope so.
It's awful. I have validation now. This I have overlooked. The Muscadet I have overlooked because I worked there for so many years. I have a bit of a triggering response. That Riesling I haven't seen, and I know I love this, the Puy Fumé. And just hearing you talk about it, with Sauvignon Blanc, everyone's so dismissive of it.
Yeah.
And I bring it home and Pete's like, but again, I think it's $23.
Yeah, well, of course he thinks it's good. He thinks it's the best
it
value for money ever.
I go out and buy it. So to him it is $23. I've spent $20 on petrol.
We're really lucky. We're being back to just try a few different things.
Yeah.
Not everything has to be a commercial success. So sometimes it's just about if you think that it might be interesting and some people might be interested, have a little go, and that's a great environment to be in that can't get anything too wrong.
Yeah. I can put you on the spot, Nick.
Here we go.
If any of our listeners have an international wine that they would love to see and dance but they haven't seen, can they message us and we forward it on to you and see
absolutely.
What you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then and speak to your local wine merchant. Most of the feedbacks when we go on sourcing trips to Pro Wine or wherever it is, our shopping list is created by our wine merchants in store.
Yeah.
The things that their customers are asking for that we don't currently have.
Awesome.
And what's your tooth protection regime while you're away?
It's a very good question. Yeah, I've got my little foam that
I'm going to get the
mousse that you apply.
I get this random.
So it's the acid. It's the acid in wine that eats the enamel.
And
right?
We're in Germany, so we'll be drinking a lot of
Riesling.
Yeah,
Well, thank you so much, Nick. And we'll see you next time. I'm sure we're going to have to get you back in because this was just
definitely.
Too good.
You
sorry,
have to do the red version.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to come back and show a few highlights of my trip. That'd be great.
Yes, so good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, Nick, we'll see you next time. And for everyone at home, we hope you enjoy your next glass of wine.
Set 2 episodes. Drink well.